Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos, right here on WLS AM 890. Happy Saturday night, Chicago. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. As I'm recording this right now, we got a little something going on in Chicago. It's cold outside, but the Chicago Cubs are heating up at Cubs Convention this weekend. Anecdotally, I went to it all the time as a kid. I went to White Sox Fest. I went to Cubs Convention. It's a great time. If you don't mind hanging around people where you just want to talk Chicago Cubs or baseball in general, maybe run into a player or two, bring a couple baseballs to get signed, not a bad place to have a weekend. Unfortunately, probably if you're at that hotel right now, you're probably doing a lot of grumbling and a lot of complaining because the Chicago Cubs, even after the Kyle Tucker trade, which was an excellent, fantastic trade, 100% makes their team better, they still have some holes on this roster. One of the moves that they really were crossing their fingers to happen because it fits their financial agenda while also get some more talent on the team was the Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki, 25 years old. Forgive me, this is pre-taping a little bit earlier in the week. Maybe he's already signed with the team, but as of this recording, he has decided to not go to the Chicago Cubs, and his choices are down to the Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays. My guess is probably Padres at this time. What made Roki Sasaki so fascinating was that he was 25 years old, was a fully formed, ready-to-go top three pitcher in anybody's rotation, and was only going to cost you international dollars as a free agent, so only maybe $6 or $7 million a year. For Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts, that was music to their ears. And Roki Sasaki has decided to move on. For reasons, look, we can dive into all the different kinds of reasons. I think he was definitely looking for community. I definitely think that Yu Darvish, who's one of his best friends and mentors in San Diego, is going to play a huge role in that in terms of situation for him. And then the other part about it was his agent let it loose that Roki didn't really want to go to a huge market with tons of attention or light, you know, flashbulbs popping around him, questions and expectations about performance. You could say whatever you want about the player in that regard, but that was what was given out by his agent. So the Dodgers, obviously the Ohtani connection, the Yamamoto connection being there, maybe taking some of the spotlight off of him in a major market. But clearly, he told the Yankees no, told the Red Sox no, and told the Chicago Cubs no. So as it stands right now, the Chicago Cubs starting rotation is as follows. It's Justin Steele, ace of the staff, who's only making $6.6 million this year, Cubs fans. So it's not like we're overloading on that. Shota Imanaga, all-star. Will he be as good as he was last year? I have my doubts, but I still think he's going to be a very solid piece to our rotation. Jameson Taillon, going to give you a solid effort out there. Bad first year, pretty solid second year in his Cubs uniform. We'll see what we can put forward. Matthew Boyd, they signed him. Last year, after on the Cleveland Guardians, had a nice August, September, and into the playoffs, a couple good starts. But honestly, the dude's never really been efficient over a long Major League Baseball season before. Javier Assad, we all know about him. Solid performer. Not going to be confused with Roger Clemens. Pitches to contact. Definitely a piece that you can use in your rotation. And then recently signed Colin Ray. Now, Colin Ray is a guy who was on the Milwaukee Brewers last year, won 12 games for them, had an ERA in the threes, and then had an awful September, so his ERA jumped over four. Now, look, I'm not upset with this trade. On this signing. He's 29 years old. I think that he's a guy that can come in and give you some usable innings, use up some bullets in this rotation moving forward. The only problem is, obviously, he's very similar to the other guys in the rotation. As in, he pitches to a lot of contact, does not rack up a lot of strikeouts, doesn't walk a lot of guys either, but the ball is going to be in play when Ray is on the mound. And then we have some of the outliers, some of the kids that we hope come up and hopefully provide some innings either in the rotation or in the bullpen. Guys like Ben Brown, who got a taste last year. I think he's the closer of the future. Great two-pitch plus pitch with the slider and the fastball. I just sort of see a situation where one of these guys, can you start maybe trying to steward them at the back of that bullpen there? Create a situation where, you know, in Cleveland, Emmanuel Clase was a starter at first. And like many, many, many guys that become closers, just couldn't get through that fourth inning, couldn't get through that second time through the lineup. They sent him down there in the closer, and he's been amazing there. Now he's the best closer in the game, and they're going to get 10 years out of him from that position. I'm wondering if they could start grooming Ben Brown. I know he's young. You don't want to bail on a guy too early. But if you can create a situation where he becomes your closer for the next 5 or 6 or 7 years, that's not a bad place to be. Jordan Wicks is another guy that can come into the rotation and help. Dealt with some injuries, shoulder stuff last year. Crafty, great changeup. I can kind of maybe see him more in the long relief role that Hayden Wisniewski took over for last year. Look, there's going to be days where Jameson Taillon and Javier Assad or maybe even the Matthew Boyds of the world struggle to get through 3-4 innings. The pitch count gets up. Jordan Wicks can come in and give you those multiple innings. And I kind of see him in that role as of right now, barring injury outside of that lineup. The other one is obviously Cade Horton, the guy that we were really hoping we were going to see at the second half of last year. We did not. He got hurt. They shut him down a little bit. I think we're going to have to wait on him even more because I think from a young pitcher's standpoint, coming off of an injury last year, they want to see him go through an entire spring training and then get at least 8 to 10 starts under his belt of quality performance before they decide to bring him up and see if he's got the stuff to stick around. But that's where we're crossing our fingers for, Cubs fans. And when we're looking at this, Chicago Cubs, they're missing one offensive bat, maybe not necessarily a regular, but they need one more guy in the rotation, either the outfield or the infield rotation. And then they need somewhere between 1 to 2 or 3 more bullpen arms. You can't just keep rolling the dice every single year and piecing it together as you go along, as Jed Hoyer's teams have the last couple of years, and hoping that it's going to work. Because guess what? It hasn't. At some point, I talk about this all the time, you need some of that cost certainty, some of that bankability. In terms of the remaining relievers, Chicago Cubs have been linked to quite often to Carlos Estevez, closer for the Philadelphia Phillies last year. A guy who doesn't have great stuff, honestly hasn't really had a great career, but the last 2 years, looks like he's kind of locked into the type of performance that is going to get him paid a significant amount of money, anywhere between the $7 and $9 million. There's guys like Tanner Scott. Recently, he was ranked in the top 10 of MLB closers. Dave Robertson's 40 years old, but he can pitch a seventh inning for you. I joked about this guy last year in the summer. Kenley Jansen's still out there on the board. Maybe seventh, eighth inning guy. Kirby Yates had a fantastic year. Again, 38 years old. Paul Sewell, former closer, didn't have a great year last year, but can get it done, 35 years old. And then the name that I want you to keep an eye on, too, is Hunter Strickland. Came back, took a year off after honestly kind of falling apart and getting, you know, he got cut out of AAA, wasn't in baseball, came back with the Angels last year, actually had a really good year. He's 36 years old, former closer for the San Francisco Giants. This is a guy that could possibly have some good stuff, and a guy who I think early on in his career got labeled as a bit of an abrasive personality. And last year on the Angels, it looks like that he's matured, and they could not sing his praises enough about being a wonderful influence in the dugout. So if you're looking for, like, something on the cheap, and we know the Cubs are, Hunter Strickland is a move to definitely keep an eye on. My question with all this is, they definitely need a couple more arms back there. And they can't be the Hector Neris type signings. We have to try and get somebody like an Estevez, a Tanner Scott, someone with real recent, credible results to go that back there in the back of the pen. Because I'm really curious, and I want to see more from Porter Hodge. Porter Hodge last year, 39 games, 42 innings pitched, 52 Ks, 19 walks, not great. That's four walks per nine innings. You definitely want to get that number down, but 0.88 whip, 1.17 ERA at home. Got to like to hear that, Cubs fans. Dude knows how to pitch at home. I'm curious what his role is. I don't want to just hand him the closer's role, but you can, you know, slice this onion a couple different ways. A lot of those dudes outside of the Tanner Scott and the Carlos Estevez, if those two guys got signed, or one of those two guys, you immediately give them the closer's role. David Robinson, Kenley Jansen, Kirby Yates, Sewell, all these other names, they could easily be setup guys, and maybe you do give Porter Hodge an opportunity to close games again, or maybe he becomes a lockdown seventh or eighth inning guy. The Chicago Cubs need more pieces to cover the last nine outs of the game. It isn't just the last three. They need to cover that last nine. Who do they go to on a regular basis where it's like clockwork? Council goes to this guy, moves on to this guy, moves on to this guy, Cubs win. So in the next 3 weeks here before spring training is over, you really want to see the Cubs make a couple more moves. And not just side cosmetic moves. If you want to do a starting pitcher, some of them are out there. Would I take a bite at the apple of a Max Scherzer or a Jose Quintana? I don't think I'd bring a Jose Quintana back. Max Scherzer, look, I would appreciate his guile. I'm curious to see how much money he would actually come back and pitch for. The slider, all the metrics on the slider still looked really good. His fastball, though, was down to 92.5 miles per hour. How does that play necessarily? And if you bring in a guy like Max Scherzer, you better damn sure have a guy like Jordan Wicks coming in there, because he might only give you four or five innings at a time. The one to keep an eye on is the Jack Flaherty situation. This guy was awesome last year. He had a 5 wins over replacement rate last year. Was looking for big bucks in the offseason, but now spring training's right around the corner. The music has stopped. They're running out of chairs. Jack Flaherty needs to sign a deal, and now his agent is leaking out there that he might be willing to do a short-term deal. If you're the Chicago Cubs, short-term deal should be music to your ears, regardless of the AAV, the annual player value. If you can get Jack Flaherty here on a 1 to 2 year deal, I would do it hands down. A 2 year deal with an opt out, a 3 year deal with an opt out after one. Get creative, Jed. Do the Cody Bellinger deal with a guy like a Jack Flaherty. Because the Chicago Cubs, they're not done yet. If the roster stays the way it is heading into spring training, I know a lot of people in Vegas are projecting them to get 86 wins. With this roster right now, I still don't see it. And if you want to talk about a bat, we can talk about that too as well. Pete Alonso is still out there. And I've said it many, many times. I like Michael Busch as a player. I don't know how he profiles offensively at the first base position. If he's a guy who's going to give you a pretty decent OPS, but only hit you 20 home runs and only drive in 70 or 80 runs at first base, I'm sorry, that simply isn't good enough. Especially when you want to play your rookie, Matt Shaw at third base. Those are power positions in Major League Baseball. At least one of those guys needs to be able to hit you 25 to 30 bombs every single year. We have to continue to accentuate and build up some of the deficiencies in this Cubs roster. And by doing it, isn't about bringing in more of the guys that are the same. Pete Alonso is different from any other player right now in the Cubs lineup. Dude hits for power. Doesn't really hit for average, but to be honest with you, his on-base is pretty decent. His slugging is pretty good. The guy knows how to handle a good at-bat. Too rich for your blood, you say? Well, look, I can go in a different direction too as well. I think a guy like Kiki Hernandez is a perfect fit for the Chicago Cubs, as long as the Dodgers don't bring him around. I think Kiki Hernandez is a great pick for the Chicago Cubs. The Dodgers don't bring him back. I lived in L.A. for 14 years. Dodgers fans absolutely worship Kiki Hernandez. And if you pull up his regular season stats, they are not going to wow you by any stretch of the imagination. But the dude can play the infield. He can play the outfield. He can play center field for you. He's a great pinch hit. And get this, in 230 career postseason at-bats, He's hitting .278, on base percentage .353, slugging percentage .522, .874 career OPS in the playoffs, 15 home runs, 36 RBIs. The dude is clutch. He's not Ben Zobrist, but man, he's the guy. He's got a little bit of that folklore to him. A little bit of that tall tale. So I just want to see something from the Chicago Cubs over the next 2 or 3 weeks before they break for spring training. Because, man, when you get Kyle Tucker, it shows that you want to be serious or you want to be more competitive. But you can't just stop there. You got to keep pushing. This division is for the taking. It was last year, too, as well, and they shortchanged their roster. They built a bad bullpen. And when the offense wasn't quite as good as it was the year before, they couldn't sustain it, and they were blowing saves left and right. You got to create some more assurances there.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.